Well, Seth, this is your last day at work. And I want to thank you in just so many ways, more than I'm going to recount here. You've been and are a personal friend. You've been a great help in raising of our children. Five of the six came through the youth group while you were here, and they've worked alongside Eric beside, and so you've had a great contribution to our family. The one-on-one conversations have been very significant to me. Staff meetings, your role on the church board, and in so many ways, you have meant so very much. When I was thinking of what to share from the scripture today, I bounced it off of Jim one time a week or two ago, and Jim goes, Acts 13. You should talk about Acts 13. And it's within the same hour we sat down as staff, and I just said, I want to, something about I was going to share something in here. And Seth said, well, Acts 13. So this morning I'd like to share a few things from Acts 13. First couple of verses. Two basic points. One is that Barnabas and Saul were serving faithfully in the church in Antioch. And the second is that while they were serving, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go someplace else and serve the cause of the gospel there. Let's read this together. In chapter 13, verse 1, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. He named six of them. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, the one we know as Paul, the apostle. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they had arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Barnabas and Saul were just doing their God-appointed ministry in Antioch. They had no idea what else the Holy Spirit had in mind for them, I imagine. They didn't, as far as we know, have any conflict issues, frustration in the ministry there. They were busy, and the Holy Spirit called them. There's a lot of different reasons why people who are in full-time ministry move from one thing to something else over the years. God moves in different ways. It's a tremendous blessing that we as Open Door, and myself and Seth, as we look at this, it's not because he was upset with us, unless there's something he didn't tell us. Not that that's always a wrong reason. God does a lot of different things in how he moves people around. In fact, it's interesting to know that Barnabas and Saul, who are sent out together here, do you know that they didn't take a second missionary trip? Because of a dispute over whether they should take John Mark the second time. Not that they were suddenly enemies, but they disagreed enough, they parted ways, and God multiplied that into more ministry. But it's a tremendous blessing that the reason they're going is because God has simply called them to something else, though they were serving and have been serving faithfully here. I'll never forget, it was almost exactly a year ago, because it was Mother's Day last year, when Seth stood up here and announced what they were pursuing at Fort Wilderness. And he explained it briefly about how he would be equipping the staff in sharing the gospel, and how he would be leading the student, the various student ministries that they have at camp. And after he had explained it, if you happen to have been in the first service, people applauded. Do you, anybody remember that? There was kind of like, and it's kind of a strange thing. You're leaving, yay! That wasn't what was going on, was it? It was actually that as he explained to us what he was feeling called to do, there was a sense of the Spirit among us. That's you, Seth, that's you. And so it really was God's work among us that they would go and serve the cause of the gospel there. So the Holy Spirit calls two of the six established leaders at the church in Antioch. a third of the leadership team, and I can do the math, one-third of our pastoral staff is leaving in this ministry. And they didn't come back for, well over a year. But then they came back and they reported. We aren't going to give you that long. You have to come back a little more often than every year or two. But we do expect you to come and report and tell us what God's doing, and we can touch base again. But I'm sure there were tears, as there may be today, because they wouldn't be functioning there in Antioch the way they had been. So we send you off while you're serving. That's what stood out to me, that they were prophets, they were teachers, they were doing the ministry. And while, verse 2, they were ministering, worshiping the Lord, fasting, implies focused prayer, while that was taking place, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So in some kind of a staff meeting or board meeting or something, they're praying together, and the Holy Spirit spoke, and he spoke very directly in those days in some, I don't know if it was audible way. And that's where our scenario differs a little bit. We weren't at a meeting when suddenly some of the guys said, "Seth, we think you should go to Fort Wilderness." It didn't quite happen that way. But I do remember in January when I think days after the opportunity was presented to you that you should maybe apply, you came to my office and told me about it. And as much as I, in one way, hated to hear about that, I said to myself, I think this is going to happen. I think this might be where God is taking you. God's leading is not always that clear, as this has become for the Meeks and for us. There are times when we experience the will of God only by looking back at the rearview mirror, right? And say, oh, that's what God was doing. But there are other times, and I'm really grateful for this, where we experience God's leading in real time, you could say. Where you sense as it's happening, yeah, this is what God has. And I'm really glad that this is one of those. I think for Open Door Bible Church, I think we need to celebrate that God's at work among us. It's not just that. It's different things that I think have happened in the last year besides this. There's just been this kind of confluence of the financial seminar and Larry Moyer with the evangelistic thing and the multiply effort. And it's kind of like, wow, God's doing something. And we should celebrate the fact that God is at work and the Holy Spirit is leading the way he is here right now. But it's while they were serving. It's an important principle. We will never know what God wants us to do next unless we are serving him faithfully in what we do now. And we can be confident he'll lead us in what's next when we're faithfully doing what he has now. And so they laid their hands on them, verse 3. So there was this recognition, and then it says, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And that's what we're going to do at the end of the service today. We're going to have Seth and Anya, and if you want to bring the kids, that's great. But we want to send them off. We do this with missionaries. You've been maybe a part of this before when we have done this. As missionaries have their partners developed and they're ready to go. You may have noticed that sometime if you're at a congregational meeting that there's a budget for missions, and then there's two categories, the sent missionaries and the supported missionaries. That's just technically it means that some are members and some are not. But we take the sending of member missionaries seriously because it indicates in some cases they started their ministry here or even grew up here. But they grew spiritually here. They were serving here. Then we sent them out. Supported missionaries are sent by some other church and yet we get to be a part of their ministry. You are sent from us. You will keep your membership here, even if you join another church because you get involved in something else here. I'm really grateful for that. I'm going to kind of consider you a staff member on assignment. Okay, if that's all right. You're still part of us, and you're on assignment at Fort Wilderness. But the Holy Spirit directed them and guided them, and so the elders prayed and sent them off. Verse 4 says they were sent by the Holy Spirit. They go down to the ship and sail to Cyprus. I don't know. Was that an obvious thing? The Holy Spirit somehow directed. I don't know if they went down there and prayed, God, where, which direction do we go? Seth's move is a little bit more organized than that. He's going to fit into an existing camp leadership structure. He'll have a boss. He'll be a boss. There's programs. There's yearly cycles, things to get done, things that'll come up. But the Holy Spirit will guide you, and I urge you not to just fill a role, but let the Holy Spirit lead you how to have an impact, which is what you did here. You got a job, you got a job description, and you made it your own because the Holy Spirit was directing you how to be a leader, how to have an impact. Again, a lesson for all of us is that as we fill a role in any ministry, officially here, particular, God needs to direct us so that it's not just, okay, what's the job description? I got to be here at this time, do this, get this done, go home. But God is calling us to ministries so that God makes it His own through the way He has gifted and directed us. It's still a Holy Spirit thing, even though it's a job in a ministry. And that's what we entrust to you. We anticipate how God will have an impact. As you build relationships, it takes time, we know, but over the years, you will have an impact and an imprint on that particular ministry as the Holy Spirit will direct you, just as it was in that first missionary journey. I want to thank you for the way you've trained others to fill the ministry roles that you've established. We've had a good transition I'm not going to be Seth, but unfortunately, I'm filling kind of his role of watching over the youth ministry. But it's all set up. And we have competent, confident, equipped people, which is what making disciples, multiplying disciples for His glory really is all about, is not that Seth does the ministry, but that Seth has equipped us to do the ministry. And some of those, what we're going to do now is going to have a time of sharing. I've asked a number of people who are working with him in ministry in particular to kind of start us off. These are people that Seth has worked to equip in over the years, many years, and yet particularly for this season, as we anticipate and our search team works on hiring somebody to take the ministry role, but God has used Seth to equip various ones who are serving among us. So, Seth, we thank you, obviously. We love you. We're behind you, and because you are still and will be a part of us. We are apart physically, but we will continue to be together in the gospel, and we thank you for that.
So, I'm Barnabas. Who's coming with me to Fort? Who's the Saul around here? Now, I want to thank you guys. It's honoring. It's a little hard for me to sit in here, I'll be honest with you. I don't take compliments extremely well. I'm sitting here going, oh, honey, this is hard to hear this. Praise God that you're working in people's lives. So anyway, you know, having never planned or ever thought that I would actually be a pastor, I praise God that He is working in your lives in spite of who I am, for sure. It goes both ways. God has used you to change me. One came up last night. Anya came to me, and she brought me a few nuts and bolts and a necklace to fix, and she brought them like this. I said, honey, pull them back. And I said, that's just like Dave Christofferson. So I didn't used to have that problem. I could focus up here. I've lost that. And the second way I've been changed is I used to make fun of the board members. We'd go on retreats, and the first one that would fall asleep, I'd be like, what's up with this? It's 8 o'clock in the evening. And about 5-6 weeks ago, I took a group of students, that's about 4 weeks ago, a group of students up north up to Fort, and they were at a table playing some games with Reed, and I fell asleep. And then they took pictures of me. So I'm just saying I have changed for sure. So, but I praise God that He's changed me through using you. I am not the same leader. I'm not the same father, husband. My knowledge of God's word has grown. You know, you come out of college and really find out you really don't know anything, right? And your continual questions and the ways you guys have challenged me, the students have challenged me, there were a lot of times I said, I have no idea. Let me get back with you. And my public speaking has grown. Thank you for those of you who are in the earlier years who put up with my first sermons. My patience has grown working with you all. And maybe that has to do with being a parent too, but my love for God has grown, my love for His church has grown, and my love for sharing the gospel has grown, which has led us to this day. I think I shared back last year that when I felt like God specifically called me to ministry, it was the year 2000, and I was studying conservation and police, and I felt like I need to be about rescuing people, and I need to be about getting the gospel out. And this is really why I believe God has us going to Fort. There are a lot of different roles at Fort, but one particular, this is a new role, and it really is this. 8,000 to 9,000 people migrate to one location, captive audience, out in creation. Seth, would you help us capture every ear with the gospel? And would you help oversee our student ministry? So for that, we're excited about it. And yeah, it's a mixed bag, to be honest with you. You know, I cleaned out my office yesterday, and it's a little bit like, okay, here we go. You guys hired us in August 2005 to serve, and now you're sending us out to share the gospel. Think about that. 10, 11 years ago, you said, please come, and now you guys are kicking me out of here, right? And one of the things I want to celebrate what the Lord has done is that in 1 year's time, I just want you to just give God the glory in this. In 1 year's time, God has raised up our entire salary majority from this church family. In other words, you're paying my salary now, tomorrow. The next day when I start at Fort, God has already provided it from the same church family. And that's just miraculous. It's amazing. Anya and I do see ourselves an extension of this church. And I had this in my notes I wanted to share with you guys. Is when you think of us as an elder from our church proclaiming the gospel to the masses of the Midwest. I wanted to share three strengths and two warnings for you guys this morning. And it's a five-point sermon in about 2.5 minutes. How about that? I believe coming from, we moved from Chicago and then Northwest Illinois before that. I've been involved with several churches. I believe there are three strengths of our church family that ought to be celebrated and regularly reminded. The first one is our church family has a clear, free grace understanding of the gospel. If you don't know what that means, it's basically this. Christ died for our sins, he rose again, and he appeared to many witnesses, and those who trust in him alone, believe in him alone, can have eternal life. We don't add anything to the gospel. It's clear. It's simple. Christ paid it all. And our faith in him is the only thing necessary for salvation. The next thing is that I think Open Door does well, our church family, believes in the authority of God's word. It feels awkward not to have the Bible open for 40, 45 minutes on a Sunday morning because that's what we do. And we believe in the authority of God's word. There have been some of you guys who have come up to me afterwards and said, where is that found in Scripture? That's so valuable. What that says is, I'm not the authority. The word of God is the authority. The third area is grace-oriented in the way we relate to other people. It doesn't take long when you go to a different church family or hear of other people's spiritual experiences. The judgmental attitude is not a dominant part of what we do here. Loving people because Jesus Christ loved us. The two warnings I have for you is this, and it maybe could sound like it comes out of Revelation, one of the churches. I would say this, do not lose your passion to multiply disciples for his glory. Even after that building is built over there. The building has a way to unite us, to bring us together for making disciples. And on the heels of bringing up a structure to make disciples, If we lose focus on making disciples, you can quickly lose ground, get distracted, split, and have an empty building. And we know Europe has many of those that are empty buildings. So do not lose your passion for multiplying disciples. Do not lose your passion for multiplying disciples. That was the command of Jesus. The second warning I have for you is this. Love, support, and follow the new pastor. He is not my replacement. Okay? I'm still part of the church family and extension. He is what's God's best for this new season of Open Door. And I mean that with the deepest part of my heart. Do not compare. The way we used to do it should not come from you. It should be, what does God have in store for us today? I want to encourage you to love and follow and focus on making disciples with him and love him and support him, coming alongside of him. If you guys are praying in our behalf, here are some things that are coming down the pipe this week for us. Monday, we load a trailer. Tuesday, we drive up. Thursday, we close on our house. We're in our, how much, check this out. Praise God. We're in our final $100 of raising support. Get that. And you can be praying for our family's emotions. It's like we've been planning this for the last year. And yet, two of the boys said to me yesterday, I know we were preparing for this. This doesn't seem real to me. Because everything's coming out of the house and we're piling things up and things like that. But we will need housing up north yet. But the most important thing is, and this is what we're praying for, that while we move, while we adjust to a new ministry, while we partner, pray that the gospel goes out. That's the prayer. And that you guys, that our family will see that the gospel goes out as a result of us trusting the Lord, as you guys trusting the Lord, because this is a faith journey for all of us in this midst. I want to thank the youth leaders, if you're in here, past and present, putting up with me. Thank you. Okay? Thank you. Board members, thank you. I appreciate you letting me give you guys a hard time, for sure. And like I said, as I think back at 24 years old when I came, and now that was, Judah was 3 weeks old, and now 5 kids later, and coming up on 15 years of marriage, I do praise God for the work he's done in my life as a result of being a pastor here and staff here at church. I want to pray with you guys, and then I think my family's going to come on up and sit in the board. But I just want to pray one last time. That God would help the church family maintain the focus of making disciples this year. Let's pray. Our Father, we are really honored that you would use us at all. We know it's for your glory that you use broken, sinful people. And we know it's for your glory that we exist. And so I pray that all my friends here would understand that whether they are driving a fork truck, or they are working at McDonald's, or they're selling insurance, or fixing cars, or traveling, selling anything, or they're in ministry here at the church, I pray that every one of my friends here would understand that they're in ministry full time to make disciples of who you've put in their life. I thank you for the students at this church. I pray that you would be with them with this adjustment. And I pray that they would be the most receptive students for a new pastor, for a new season, for what you want to do. I pray that you would be with our adults, that they would refrain from saying that's the way we used to do it, but they would have an anticipation, edge of their seat, desire to experience what you have in store for them. I pray that down the road, you would multiply what we've done for your glory, that you would see grandchildren in Christ come through and make disciples. We love you. Thank you for this church family, their patience with me, their patience with our family, and their support. And in the end, Lord, we just want you to be honored and pleased when you return. In your name we pray.